That was Look At You by Patrick Wilson from the album Wave it is. I'm finally joined here in the studio with correspondent to we see person of the, he's a man about town, you would have heard him before, Stephen Hill, welcome.
Hey, welcome.
You made it, what happened?
just the old, good old-fashioned train not arriving at the station at the time it was meant to arrive at, but that's life.
We've
got more interesting things to talk about, so let's...
We do, but I do want to warn people, Friday will always be... I remember last year Friday, I was stuck on the train for so long. Anyway, you're right. We're going to talk about the movies. You a movie aficionado that you are. Mm-hmm. 10 movies, two of which I knew because the other one's on Netflix. Yeah. Do you want to go with... What's your standout movie for the year? Well, we won't go for number one first. Tell me a couple of your honourable mentions, maybe.
Honourable mentions. Well, yeah. There's a few. I mean, I really like the Chinese American drama, The Farewell.
Oh yeah.
It's actually a really... I mean, these things often have become too sentimental, but this is a fantastically on the ball film. Really
Awkwafina as well, who you might know her from Ocean's 8, and I just watched her Crazy Rich Asians as well. But then doing very indie film.
Yeah.
Yeah. And half in Mandarin, I think.
Yeah, half in Mandarin, half in English, and it is that interesting thing of the sort of all these sort of Chinese people that live in America and America and China, that sort of interaction of cultures.
Yeah, and how that's changed their lives.
And,
yeah.
And it really does it in a way that is very down to earth. So it doesn't sort of draw in the sort of... It's very easy for these things to get sentimental or to either go into a really orientalist trope, which sort of stereotypes, or the other, a very American bland thing. But this actually was a very good film. And I mean, it easily could have...
Yeah.
But it focused too much on the tragedy of the grandparent, who's just an amazing performance by the grandmother, who... It's about the visiting and making this sort of fake wedding that they're going over to visit their grandmother that they know is dying of cancer.
Don't give away too much, but it is a really sweet story. I'm going to bring out the two Netflix ones that you put in here, which is crazy. That these guys have apparently got pretty good Oscar chops on them.
Yeah.
So I haven't finished it yet, The Irishman.
Yeah.
Obviously, Martin Scorsese's return with Robert De Niro, Al Pacino.
It's a really fascinating third sort of gangster film.
Oh, I didn't find it that.
and really different to Goodfellas and Casino.
Yeah.
Brutal.
It's pretty brutal.
It is still brutal. I mean, it is about the...
There's no glitz and glamour to it.
It's very stripped back. And I mean, it's much about them older, sort of reminiscing on the sort of golden days.
Yeah.
And an amazing performance. I mean, whenever Al Pacino is in it as Jimmy Hoffa, the intensity of it just rises.
For those who don't know, I jumped into the whole Wikipedia Google world afterwards as I was watching. Jimmy Hoffa was a real
union
real
leader.
Person
yeah,
was, and like, union
he
leader.
He went missing and, well, I'm... Yeah.
Well, stop now, but yes, you can see I haven't got that far yet. And Marriage Story, have you watched it yet? I can't bring myself to...
Marriage Story is an absolutely fabulous film.
Is it?
Scarlett Johansson and Adam Driver.
Scarlett Johansson
and Adam Driver.
About to be appearing in the third Star Wars film. We're not talking about that right now. Yep.
But great year for Adam Driver with a lot of... He's just been in nearly everything. But this is Noah Baumbach yet again, sort of going back to... He's himself obviously experienced a divorce. He is also... His parents divorced. But this is all about how a relationship fractures and then going into the court system. And that's the brutality of
the
divorce.
Oh, so it goes that far even.
Into the divorce proceedings and how people who still care for each other and still have an affection for each other, how it then becomes a sort of contest over... The parental rights of the child, and also, also there's the economic thing, but that is much... It's much more about both wanting the to have time with the son, and the fact that he lives in New York, and she's now moved to... the Scarlett Johansson character's moved to LA. So you have this sort of... This thing that can't be resolved easily, and so even people who have
which happens a lot.
Yeah, it happens, and it isn't the sort of usual dramatic thing where it becomes a huge... irreconcilable with violence. This is much more about two people who have, to still have some lingering affection, but they do have different paths that they're going to go on in their lives.
Sure. Portrait of a Lady, you've seen that. That's
I,
not
I,
out
I
yet.
Think this is a
so
really
tell me,
fabulous.
I don't know anything about this
so
one.
So this is coming out on Boxing Day, and I mean, this really is a film that I don't know, do I get to be mansplaining and saying this is just a fabulous feminist film, a fabulous queer
you're gonna have to, it's just you and me and I haven't seen it.
I just think it's an absolutely I really like the work of Céline Sciamma. She's a French director.
Mm-hmm.
She did a film before called Girlhood about like African French teenagers.
Yes. Yep.
And this, yet again, she really does do female characters just an amazing role. I mean, there basically is no male characters, and it's about this relationship between a painter and an aristocrat who's going to be married off. And basically she has to do this painting to make an image so then they can sell off the aristocrat to a Milanese wealthy man, nobleman. So as much as she wants to draw this object, she's then to have this beautiful, you know, this object of desire. At the same time, she knows that by painting a perfect picture of her, she's going to lose the object of her affection. And yeah, it's done in a way that isn't sort of
okay.
It's like there isn't a male gaze. It's really carefully, and it's much, it's slow upon it. It still has a lot of dramatic tension. It's
amazing.
It's a director.
So there's been a couple this year. Was that the best female directed film you saw, you think, or?
Probably just, but I tell you what, the Australian film, The Nightingale,
yes.
Jennifer Kent, I mean,
which has made your list as well.
It's
yeah.
great to have an Australian film in the list and really deserving. I mean, it is a brutal, brutal film about the Tasmanian genocide, about Indigenous Australians, and also just the rampant misogyny too. So as much as it is about the
very much a juxtaposition to the movie you just said.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So I mean, I can remember. I mean, going out of the screening, and you could see just people crying and like partners sort of comforting their girlfriends, because it really is a heavy going film, but it deals with a very important topic. And while there have been some people that have been sort of concerned about the amount of violence, I do think it is addressing a very important historical aspect that Australia is still struggling to come to grips with.
Absolutely. I appreciate
well directed, gripping, and a beautiful use of the Tasmanian wilderness. And an amazing performance too by the Indigenous actor. Mm-hmm. His name, I believe, is Bekali Ganyampa. Mm-hmm. And he was actually just a dancer that they found on YouTube. They found him dancing on YouTube, and he got cast in as the Indigenous tracker. And he just gives it a really dignified performance.
I must see it then. So your most surprising film that you saw of the year, was that, or maybe something else? I must say at this point, I saw no comedies on your list as well, which worries me.
I hope I'm not too dour. I mean, Parasite is a bit of a comedy.
Yes.
As much as it's an action and it's a tragedy. It is sort of comical, and that these characters are caught within this sort of dream. I mean, this is a Korean film by Boon Joo Ho, who does these very high budget, but very, these genre films that really do comment on Korean and global society. We all can grab it. And so this is all about those sort of people that want to emulate the sort of 1% society, the ultra wealthy, and live that sort of life. And they're sort of drawn into the fantasy, and they're willing to sort of they're basically like the servant in love with the master. Kind of end up emulating the sort of master, and they basically knock everyone else around, and basically quite happy to just brutalize anyone else who tries to compete for their little small segment as they're trying to rise up the society.
So that's your closest attempt at a comedy. I can't even counteract that, because I can't add a comedy to the list of myself. But like you said, we had better films in the second half of the year.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, one that's also on at the moment is By the Grace of God is Frances Ozon, who's really had a return to form with this. It's about the Catholic child abuse. And again, just amazing performances. I mean, I just think it's a lot better film than like Spotlight, which got a lot of
cred and won the
Oscar. And yeah. I mean, I loved it because of how I talked about the importance of journalists. But this is all about the actual people that suffered sexual abuse as children.
So
the characters growing up and the sort of support groups. And mm-hmm. I just think it's a film that really needed to be seen by a lot more people.
Yep, agreed. Agreed. So it looks like there's lots of movies for us to catch up. So I'll get you to post your top 10 list to the website when we post this up as well. But thank you so much for dropping in, sir.
No problem. Thank you.
Always a pleasure to have you here. We're going to play a little bit more music. I've got Bright Direction by His Golden Messenger. I saw it right. I did bring my glasses, I promise. Enjoy.